Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Taboo Talks Hotline. I am your host, Melissa James, and you can think of me as your taboo concierge, connecting you to different brands, products, talks, and events which society deems inappropriate. With that being said, the following content may contain triggering information, thus intended for a mature audience only. Today, I'm going to tell you all about my trip to Tomorrowland because y'all had the questions. And seeing the blog is still under construction, I thought, why not just give you a podcast episode? So let's dive into this. Again, I went to Tomorrowland, and if you're a raver or festival goer, you know that this is like the festivals of all festivals. If you're not into the scene and wondering what the fuck I am talking about, I'll fill you in. Basically, it's one of the largest festivals for electronic dance music, or EDM, that's held in a little town called Boom in Belgium. Of course, this festival has been on my radar for quite some time. However, I never actually made the effort to go to it because if you look at all the options on the website, it can cause a girl to go into decision paralysis. So lucky for me, this winter, while minding my own anxious business, because as we all know, I'm a nervous Nelly, I got a text from my LA bestie that was like, hey girl, we're doing Tomorrowland. Do you want to join us? Wink, wink. And I knew what that meant. I was going camping at Tomorrowland. And that would have been all fine and dandy, except like, I'm not a camper. When I travel, I much prefer a 4 to 5 star hotel experience with a spa, the ability to order room service, preferably with a clean bathroom that isn't like a mile hike to the other side of, you know, the camp. But alas, that wasn't available on my budget. And if I were you listening to this podcast, I would be thinking right now, what the fuck is this person doing spending all this money and time to do something that they don't really enjoy? And I'm going to say that is a valid question. Unfortunately for me, there are quite a lot of pros to doing the whole camping festival situation. Like the fact that it's actually a short walk home from the festival. You don't have to wait online for more transportation or walk even longer to your accommodation. And also it does make for a fun group experience once you get over the humility of camping. But every single time I do go, I swear I'm never going to do it again. And here comes said bestie with her spicy, spidey senses, knowing it's been around that time where I suddenly magically forget what it's like to do camping, and I can start to remember the past experience fondly. Also, this is going to sound very cluster B of me. Maybe some of you can relate or not, but I get this weird sense of validation when I make it through a camping experience, like some sort of survival situation. Like I need a t-shirt that says I survived Tomorrowland, which is really funny because we did one of the more bougier camping options. And no, it wasn't to appease my like lavish lifestyle, but more for the fact we were all traveling internationally and thought it would be a little bit extra to bring camping gear along. Like the amount of money it would have quote unquote saved in the general camping area would have caught up to us between shipping or like purchasing stuff there and then like leaving it behind. What do you do? So I know there were a few of you wondering how much it cost. And we did the spectacular easy tent portion of the easy tent area, which includes 2 tickets to Tomorrowland, tent, air mattress, 2 chairs, a lock to lock your own tent, and our tents were actually raised on a platform, so rain wouldn't get inside because apparently it rains at this festival every year. And then we also had a plug to like charge things, which was great. And depending on what tier you purchase your tickets at, you would spend no more than 1,700 euros. So I had a buddy divide that by 2. When I travel, I love a good surprise, especially when I go somewhere new. I hardly ever do research online because I feel like it takes away from the experience. But I thought since I was going with a group of people, I should come prepared as possible. It's not Coachella where I'd have my car and I'd be able to drive to the nearest Walmart to get supplies. Although low-key, you can pretty much find everything at Tomorrowland. You don't need to worry about that. So I started going online and doing the research and read that the weather is unpredictable and was likely to rain, as I mentioned before, and not just like, you know, little spritz, like actual downpour. So I started to get into a trance of panic because, you know, hair, clothes, oh my God, am I gonna be like a wet dog? And I started to get buyer's remorse and actually tried to sell my ticket. Like, I felt like I was Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz, really freaking out about, like, not being in Coachella anymore. Clearly, since I'm telling you the whole saga, the universe did not want me to sell the tickets and go for the survival experience. And the closer we got to the event, the more I started to panic. And then my phone informed me that it would indeed be raining through most of the event. So there went out all my hopes and dreams of wearing some of my lingerie outfits because there was no way in hell I was going to risk wearing some of the pieces just to get destroyed. So I know a few of you wanted to know about outfits, and I just went for something cute, casual, and comfortable pieces that if they got, you know, a little wet and dirty, it wouldn't necessarily matter. Like, the first day I wore a legging and sports bra set that was cute, leopard print. Second day I wore a romper and leather harness, which I don't know if was a good idea because after it rained and I was like walking around the festival, because day two we kind of like went our separate ways, there was a group of boys who decided it would be a fun idea to like squirt water guns at my chest. And that really just put a whole damper in my day. So I don't know if I'd recommend wearing lingerie to this festival. Day three, I did roll the dice and wear my Colette and Sebastian Tay-Tay harness bra under my Mason closed slip dress. And that was, I think, borderline of how, like, it was a good amount of conservative and, like, you know, spiciness at the same time. So I would recommend not to go all out on the fashion for this festival. And, you know, I'm a fashion girly, so this broke my heart a little bit. But with the rain, and speaking from experience, especially with day two, I had my hair perfect, blow it out, straightened the bangs, and it got completely, you know, ruined by the rain. So go with having a little bit more fun and comfort in mind versus being like, I have to look pretty. Other things I brought with me that were actually a lifesaver, and I get made fun of this, but I swear, buy this. I bring this to all festivals, and that is my Snuggie. You know, like back in the day where they had the infomercial, it's like the blanket with the sleeves. This thing is a lifesaver. Even though they gifted us, what are those things called? Sleeping bags? It was still cold at night, which I don't think I was as prepared for. I was not prepared for this trip at all, to be honest. So it was really nice to have an extra layer of warmth. The other thing I highly recommend is bringing at least a poncho, but definitely a raincoat. I brought a poncho where like the sleeves only went down to like the elbow, and that was just a fucking waste. Get a raincoat, be warm. Again, this is not gonna be the fashion festival. You're going to like meet people, you're gonna like go to have a good time and not necessarily worry about what you're looking like. Number three, Doc Martens or other boots. Do not wear sneakers, especially white sneakers. They're going to get wet and you're going to be uncomfortable. So the moment you confirm your ticket and you buy it, go get yourself a pair of boots and break them in, so by the time you get to the festival, they're comfortable to wear. My last recommendation for camping, but this is specifically for a bougie camping easy tent version, is to bring a bed sheet and a pillow. The pillows that we got in our package were basically off of an airplane, so that wasn't the best. And the air mattress, it just would have been nice to like have your face on it, you know? I don't like pillows, so it would have just been a whole more comfortable sleeping experience if we had had that. Just my opinion. Okay, so getting into the festival was a frequently asked question by you guys. Of course, this makes sense. Now, I cannot tell you what it was like checking in on Thursday when you're supposed to go the day before, get settled, get your camping situation, because when I woke up Thursday morning and it was pouring rain outside, I decided that my nerves and my bad mood would not survive being wet all day and sleeping in a tent. So I decided to have a tourist day in Amsterdam, strolling around the city, visiting the Rijksmuseum, which I highly do suggest going to. Like, side note, I have never stared at art like the way that I stared at art in this museum. Some of the artwork actually looked like photographs, and my brain couldn't handle the amount of details that went into creating some of these pieces. It was absolutely insane. After spending a wholesome day looking at art, I walked down the street to a restaurant called The Burger Room, which was coincidentally Wizard of Oz themed, so I took it as a sign, had a lovely dinner, had myself a drink, and went home, did a little meditation to wake up early the next day. Praise be, I woke up Friday morning with no rain and a whole better attitude. So I hopped on a train from Amsterdam to Boom, where it was pretty easy. I got a little lost at the Amsterdam station, but once I got to like the main area, there were lots of signs on how to get there, and just super easy from what I'm to understand from everybody else who went the day before. It was also just as easy. I arrived at the Boom station, I want to say around 11 a.m. and was at my tent at the easy tent area by 12:30 p.m., which I thought was pretty good timing, seeing we went from the station in a shuttle to the festival, then going through security, then finding where the tent was, which is like on the other side of the area, which was a whole saga because I don't have a sense of direction at all. But it was very easy. It was like, and this is how everybody was explaining how Thursday was when you checked in, that it was very much like a concession line, that you'd go to one person and then they'd guide you to the next person and so on until you found where you were supposed to go. So don't worry, you're not going to get lost. You're in good hands. Everybody was super friendly and wanted you to like get to where you were going so you can have a good time. Now, I'm not gonna lie, once I arrived at the Easy Tent area after getting a little lost, I was so happy. And not just to find my tent, but to see that it was a secluded area from the rest of the festival where you actually needed to get, like, check your bracelet in before they let you inside. The amount of people that is at Tomorrowland, if you're an introvert like me and you love a good alone time, this was a little overwhelming with the amount of people that were there. It was like everywhere you looked, somebody was in your face. So to have an area that was secluded from everybody else was really nice. And we kind of had everything that we needed in there. There was this cute, like, open campfire area. We had our own concession stands of food and drinks and whatnot. Then we had our own locker room situation for showers. There were, which you did have to pay for, but there were free showers that you could use, but it was cold water and exposed to the outside area. So if that's your thing, that's cool. But for me, I'd rather pay the two pearls to shower in a locker room. And the pearls is the currency that they use at Tomorrowland, which I have a theory that they do this to get you to spend more money, but the other theory is that they do this to save time because you actually have to check your bracelet before you order anything, and if you don't have enough pearls, they won't serve you, which kind of makes sense because the amount of people, again, like I've said before, is insane, so to keep the lines moving and not waiting keeps the people happy, I guess. Now, I know you guys are going to want to know, and I purchased 300 euros worth of pearls. So, like, thinking 100 euros a day was enough for me to have a good time. And overall, this included two showers, roughly three alcohol beverages, plus a few waters. And I had a weird thing for orange sodas while I was there. So I had quite a few of those. I also got a balloon, roughly ate two meals per day. And then we also did a VIP dinner experience, which I'm not gonna lie, I do recommend. We did this on the last day, and I think we probably enjoyed it a little bit more because it was raining. So it was like, we did this the last day at like 9 p.m. and it was just nice for all of us to come together and enjoy that special moment. The food was pretty good, not just at the VIP section, but all throughout. It wasn't something that you were going to spit out, and it made you want to like explore other options. It was definitely no Coachella, but it was still pretty good. Getting into the festival was easy breezy. The security did their job, but in no way were they over the top, getting inside your outfit like they do in EDC. I want to say it took us 10 minutes top as a group of five to get through security. The lines weren't extravagant by any means, which made walking inside so much more pleasurable. And you got to appreciate your surroundings because it reminded me of a Disney World for adults who enjoy an extracurricular activity, if you know what I mean. It was over the top in the best way. Extravagant enough to feel magical, but not over the top where it feels like a production, if that makes sense. It was the right balance where I feel like the last time I went to EDC, granted this was back in, 2018, it just felt like a production where the stages were trying way too hard. And this was not it at all. It had that perfect balance of magical flair and production, if you will. But the rest of the day was just beyond magical. We stayed together as a group, and I stepped out of my comfort zone as a techno snob and actually went to the main stage. I got to vibe with a few new DJs I had never heard of before. I actually spoke to other humans and made new friends. Wow, what a surprise. Got out of my introverted shell. Created a lot of core memories at some DJ, I can't even remember his name. It was very 80s, but oh my gosh, that was a whole situation of this guy picking my friend flowers and she refused the flowers. And he was like basically falling over in the swamp to pick these flowers. So he then brought the flowers over into like the dance area, and people would take the flowers and like dance with them in the air kind of thing, you know, holding them in the air. And it was just so funny. Oh my gosh, we lost it. But that might have been one of those situations where you had to be there to understand. However, we thought it was hilarious. And our magical evening ended with my absolute all-time favorite DJ, Eric Prydz, and the holographic show, which was, my goodness, insanely good. I'm gonna date myself here, but I'm pretty sure I saw the holographic 2.0 in Madison Square Garden back in potentially 2015. No, this had to have been even sooner, because 2014 maybe 2013. Anywho, it doesn't matter. But to just see the progression of the visuals from this show, because that's what it's about his artistic, immersive experience, was just insane, guys. If you like electronic music, I highly recommend going to one of his shows. You will not regret it. It's really cool. Speaking of friends, you guys know that I love to add perspective to all of our conversations. So I thought, why not ask one of my new friends to give you guys some perspective on what it was like to camp in the Magnificent Greens, which is a general camping area. So Male 25, and I'm just going to paraphrase what they said. This was their second time camping in the general area. Since he was from Belgium, it didn't make sense to do the bougie camping thing. They recommended to arrive early, especially if you're going to be with a friend group and be there at the same time, so you can find a good spot to set up the tents and in the same area. From what I'm to understand, this is not like Coachella where the space is already allocated with spot. It seems more of like fight to the death for a little bit of space to put up your tent. And doing so in the rain like it did on Thursday was not a fun time, but the alcohol afterwards was worth the hard labor. One tip that they did say, which I thought was genius, was to bring a storage tent for all your food, stuff, things that you don't need from sleeping, and then have a sleeping tent. They also recommend bringing a log for both tents because people will go around and steal your stuff. Cons to being in the camping area, and we had the same experiences too, is there's going to be people having after parties, so loud music, you might hear somebody snoring, and you might hear people engaging in, you know, a little something something. But again, that's just part of the festival vibe. So there you go for the general camping area perspective. I hope that adds to help you guys figure out if that's for you or not. Now for day two, which was the complete opposite of day one. I got back to camp the night before not realizing that the showers had actually closed at 2 a.m. and I didn't realize that. So day two was the complete opposite of day one. I had gotten back to camp the night before not realizing that the showers close at 2 a.m. Like, why? When the festival stops at 1 and we're grimy as fuck, why would you do that to us poor souls? Probably to prevent drunk people from destroying the place, you know? But I wound up sleeping in festival filth, which was, ugh, such a bad idea in every way possible. Big mistake, regret, everything. I woke up the next day with the biggest headache, congested sinuses, which was normal, I guess, for a festival, but my face was so fucking puffy that not even a skinny confidential ice roller could fix. And the worst part about all this is I didn't immediately wake up and run for the shower. I thought it would be a really good idea to go do yoga and get more filth on me. Now, even though the choice was unsanitary, I'm glad I did the yoga, which was free for anybody who's wondering, because being in this 30-something-year-old body, stretching out the kinks makes life so much more pleasurable, and to have the whole meditative experience, we need that nowadays. But I left the yoga mat doing as the yogis don't and went straight for an alcoholic beverage to brave the portable shower situation, which, by the way, is probably one of the most humbling experiences of my life. Anywho, said drink may have been a bad idea because the personalities that were flying in that damn locker room, oh my gosh, the amount of people fighting over a fucking outlet, the privileged audacity of us, myself included. I just wanted to straighten my bangs, which ironically got fucking soaked during the rainstorm that I was just convinced wasn't going to happen. But honestly, the rest of the day was so aggressive. I don't know what it was, if it was just day two or if people were cranky from the day one, if people were drinking more, but we all, as a group, decided to go our separate ways because we all have different tastes in music and that just happens. But the vibes inside, I don't know. I have no idea what was going on. But people were just shitty. They were aggressive. And like I had mentioned earlier with my day two outfit, I was wearing this like romper situation with my Voyeur X harness underneath. And these guys just, with water guns, just start squirting at my chest. And it felt so violating. And between feeling sick and congested and whatnot, I felt too fucking old to be there, man. I just wanted a clean room and a bathroom where girls weren't cutting me in line. And if I said something to them, they just completely ignored me. It was just beyond rude. And for festival, this was just weird because I'm used to like peace, love, unity, respect. And that was like left at the door somewhere. Nobody brought it with them. Nobody. Everybody forgot it. Had it not been for Tale of Us performing at 8:30 p.m., I think that I would have called it quits much earlier. But I really wanted to see them and their set was absolutely amazing. But when they finished at 9:30 p.m., my ass hightailed back to the tent, showered, and went to bed. I am not gonna lie, I was so put off by day two that I spent the morning of day three looking at bus tickets, train tickets, whatever, to get the fuck out of the festival. I was like, I don't wanna do this between the rain and feeling violated from the water gun situation. I was like, I don't wanna go back in there. However, by the time I figured out the whole transportation system, it was like 1 p.m. I had done some yoga and meditated. The anger started to subside. I talked myself into staying for what would have been another 18 hours because my train the following morning was at 6 a.m. Plus, I really wanted to see Paris Hilton perform. So I put my big girl panties on with my Colette and Sebastian Tay-Tay harness and decided that I was going to have a fun time. Plus, as a group, we were all going to stay together for a last day hurrah, and that was the better choice because we had good energy collective together. Now, the day started off fine, dandy, and sunny. And then within like an hour and a half, it was downpouring rain, and that was just insane, guys.